quick note before we get started here. We do a lot of hot Masahiro Tanaka talk at the beginning of the show, and the game was postponed while we were recording, so feel free to skip over that part. Here we go. All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Thursday, May 25th. I'm Doug Norrie, that is.
James Davis.
And we are sitting across the desk from each other here for the one more face-to-face podcast before we break out of town. We're from DFSR.com. You can go to DFSR.com/MLB for a free 3-day trial to our projection system that's optimal lineups powered by Lineup Lab for FanDuel and DraftKings MLB. System's been absolutely crushing it of late, so it's still time to get a free 3-day trial of that. And if you have any questions about it, you can just jump into our chat room and ask the users how they've been enjoying the system, and they will give you their honest, and albeit right now, positive review of things. Before we get started, buddy, something pretty traumatic happened to you yesterday that you absolutely could never stop talking about the entire day, but I'm wondering if you wanted to share the thing that I was able to hear over and over and over again with the listeners about what happened to you.
No,
yesterday.
Because you're just going to make fun of me for telling our listeners that yesterday I heroically, racing back for the lineup block, Wednesday night lineup block, one of the bigger ones, very, very important, crucial to get things in place in the right moment, walking my dog like the family man I am, turn a corner, and what should I see? With some huge dog pulling its owner down to the ground and running directly for me and my dog. Now, Doug, I was able to defuse the situation. I don't want anyone to be too alarmed, but the dog did bite my knee and give me a small cut and a bruise, and he did bite my dog as well. But my loud screaming was just enough to get all the neighbors to run out. I think I'm a crazy person.
The rumor was you screamed so loud that people from multiple houses came out to see what.
No, that's accurate for sure. Multiple people came out. Looked like a complete nut job, because then by then the dog had sauntered back over to the old man that he had walked the thing in. So I'm just standing in the middle of the street screaming my head off. But hey, we made it, buddy. And you know what? What happens? Just like Willis Reed coming out of the locker room, Paul Pierce, it comes to mind. I limped back up the street, sat down at my desk, G-chatted with Darrell a little bit, and he was able to finish locking the lineups that would wind up cashing.
Oh, guys, I got bit by a dog. Oh. All right, so we have a Thursday double slate.
I'm going to get my dog to bite you, and then we'll see how funny you think it is. There we go.
Thursday double slate in MLB. We'll talk a little bit about the early afternoon, which has some interesting kind of little subplots going on there, and then an evening slate of baseball. To start, I mean, Tanaka is the guy for the Yankees showing up in all the cash games right now. I suspect it probably stays like that. I don't know what your thoughts are there. It's mostly because pitching is not particularly strong in this early slate. There are also some weather concerns in coming out of New York. There's rain that's supposed to kind of looks like happen pretty much all day there, but not maybe not like torrential downpours. But so between Tanaka's numbers and the potential weather issues, what are your thoughts on him? And can we like kind of lock him down for cash games on the early slate?
I mean, I was pretty upset when I saw Tanaka, and my first instinct was not Tanaka. It's going to be someone else. But then as I was cruising through some of the other names, I wasn't particularly inspired. I mean, yeah, Tanaka, he's kind of a weird one, actually, because this season it's really just been the walk rate that's been different between this year and last. The walk rate has climbed from 1.6 to 2.8. That's made a pretty dramatic difference in his xFIP. But really, the issues he's been having is with the home run to fly ball ratio. That jumping from 12% to 25% is completely unsustainable. And while Yankee Stadium sure does allow a lot of home runs, you just can't ever pencil someone in for that level of home run to fly ball rate. So I guess I could live with Tanaka. I'm going to definitely look more closely at some of the other names here just to make sure all the inputs are correct. But yeah, I mean, if you're just looking for quote-unquote safety, Tanaka against a team that doesn't really hit right-handed pitching seems okay.
Yeah, the Royals stink.
They don't really strike out is the only thing.
They don't strike out a lot, but they also really just don't hit. And so yeah, they're second to last in OPS this season. I don't see any dramatic change coming down the pike in that respect, just considering their lineup is pretty bad. They really don't have anything in the way of power, really, after Moustakas, and even he's not a huge power bat. So, no, they're just they're the weakest hitting team on the slate, and that's probably the thing that incentivizes me to want to play Tanaka, because Tanaka is just kind of a guy. Like, 7 Ks per 9 is not very good. 4.43 xFIP is not very good. He's just, like,
expensive for the slate.
He's definitely a guy that I suspect is just kind of like known. If he wasn't on the Yankees, he'd probably be just a complete guy. But like, he's just on the Yankees, probably gives him a little bit more name cachet than he likely deserves. The K's for him, it's interesting for him too. The K's for him have dropped every single year since he got to the majors, since he came over. So like, he started with 9.31, 8, 7.4, and now 7.31. So I think he just headed in the wrong direction in terms of his stats. If you didn't play him though, where is there anywhere else you can look for even moderate safety? I don't think he is a 100% lock guy like to that you have to play in cash games. But after him, what other pitchers stand out to you here?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if the system is really making the most out of Tyler Anderson here. You know, the thing that it's really seeing, I think, between Tanaka and Anderson is the money line, right? Yep. So Anderson is only a slight favorite. Tanaka is a dramatic favorite, and he's getting a lot of boost there for both the quality start and the win. I think that's reasonable, certainly, to consider all that. Tanaka being up against Miguel Almonte means the Yankees are going to sort of have a field day.
Well, I don't know. I looked at Almonte. He's kind of a guy. Like, if you look at his minor league numbers, I think he is actually a realish prospect. He's got some pretty dramatic K numbers in the minors. I was looking at this right before. I mean, the Yankees are still projected to put up runs, so it's like not a huge, I mean, make of what you
I'm
will.
Just looking at the Vegas line, and okay, I'm saying right. that Almonte has not pitched a pitch in the major league since 2015. Right. Anytime a guy comes up like that, like, I get that he has some K numbers here and there, but also in AAA, his highest ever level, he had 6.3 walks per nine last season, so I guess I'm just not scared of Miguel Almonte.
Well, what about Anderson? I mean, so Anderson, the Phillies are projected to put up a few more runs, though not a huge amount. You said like not what to make of him. It's always hard with these guys, the Colorado guys, kind of, it's hard to look at their numbers just as from a bird's eye view because they pitched half their games, presumably, in Coors.
You can just look at his numbers, though. I mean, last year he had a 3.64 xFIP, this year a 3.65 xFIP. I think that xFIP is high, is better than Tanaka's expectation at this point. And he's got a fine matchup with the Phillies. Like, Citizens Bank's not the greatest place to pitch, but it's definitely better than Coors. And being lefty against that lineup, not as good as he used to be, but it's still pretty solid. So I'm okay on Anderson. It's kind of weird that they're the same price. I think probably more people will go with Tanaka on the basis of the matchup and the money line, but I could see a scenario. I mean, certainly for big tournaments, I think Anderson almost unequivocally has better upside. Mm-hmm. His K numbers are headed in the opposite direction, and he's younger. I mean, he's not as young as his major league experience would belie. Like, he's 27, so his second season in the majors means he's going to be more polished than most second-year guys. But, yeah, I still like Anderson. I think, you know, and we're just picking between all the people left at the bar at 3 a.m. here, right? Like, there's no one who's going to really inspire you on this slate, but among all of them, I think Anderson makes me feel the least bad.
Yeah, we might be a little bit low on Anderson's K per nine, especially if we think that his season numbers now are sustainable, because I think we were had a more like in the 7.5, maybe pushing up to 8 per 9. And if we think that if he is like actually a strikeout per inning guy, then, and which I'll look at when we're kind of done here.
Yeah, I don't know that he's a strikeout per inning guy. So like last year he was low sevens. He is 27 years old. Up around 8 seems like kind of the right number for me, but
We might not even been there, you know? Right? And that's the thing to look at. We might not even been at 8. If that's the case, and he gets a little bit of a tick up there, then we could see that projection come up. There are some other names on this slate that people might kind of try to talk themselves into, like Gio Gonzalez against the Mariners. He's a moneyline guy today. I mean, going the other way in that Philly game, Velasquez does have some K stuff. What do you think of either of those two guys?
I think people will play Gonzalez. I think they'll be lured in by the 2.86 ERA. You know, the money line is there. I don't think it's a terrible play, but with Gio, you really have to be cautious because he's always been one of these guys who's kind of dangling on the precipice of being unplayable based on his control issues. And the fact that that's gone in the wrong direction in his age 31 season has me definitely feeling a little bit worried. Because the thing in the past is that you could always live with the control issues because he got great K rates as a result. You know, dancing around the zone, kind of keeping people guessing. This year, people just aren't falling for it. The K's per nine have dropped down to 7.3. The xFIP is at an all-time high of 4.7. So I'm not particularly excited about Gio. I could see him being, he could potentially be the highest owned pitcher on the slate, to be honest with you, just because it's a relatively small slate. He's the most expensive pitcher on the slate, and you don't really need too much more savings to get all the bats you need. So I could definitely see him having high ownership. I don't even think that that's necessarily wrong. It's just I am not excited about it.
Yeah, Velasquez also is a guy who he gives up over a strikeout per inning. He also walks a ton of guys. He kind of grooves a lot of pitches. Like, he has strikeout stuff, but he just lets up a ton of home runs as well. So while I think there's probably pedigree at some point, and there's a chance that at some point he probably could figure it out because he has pretty good stuff, he just gets knocked around too much for a guy that has decent strikeout stuff. So this is all to say the pitching prospects here on this early slate are, while there are some names here, it's just hard to get too excited. Like, even you have Samardzija, but he's against the Cubs, and you really can't go there. Even though there's
in Wrigley,
no. Right? There's no line in on that game. It's, the money line is close. Like, it's pretty much a pick 'em, mostly because the Cubs are trotting out Eddie Butler, who's absolute garbage. But that's the only reason they're even slight favorites in this game. If they had really were pitching anybody else, it'd be a totally different story. And Samardzija's been good this year. He's coming out. I think he's coming off his best game of the season last time too. So this is all to say. Pitching is weird. I do like the slate overall. I think that the Yankees and the Nationals do stand out as pretty easy cash game stacks going in that direction. So I don't know if I just like did a sum up job on the offensive side of things here. I mean, do you see those? I mean, our system clearly sees those two teams as the teams to target here. And I think that most other people will see it that way as well. Are there other, where else could you go if you wanted to maybe just kind of throw an off brand GBP stack together in the early?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of actually pretty decent options here. I think the Giants against Eddie Butler are pretty decent. They don't have a ton of, you know, conventional big stack names. But Eddie Butler, I talked about him when he first was going to make his appearance with the Cubs. There was that, I guess the question mark I had was, why do the Cubs want him, given that he seems so bad? Like, maybe they saw something about when he got away from Coors or something like that. It just hasn't panned out. It's only been 9 innings, but the 8 Ks per 9 looks good before you see the 8 walks per 9. So I think the Giants are definitely in play for me. If you want to go seriously off-brand, I'm just always looking for bad pitchers against bad teams. So, you know, maybe you go the Rays against Daniel Wright. You can even think about, oh, whoops, that's a 6 o'clock game. So, yeah, the Rays against Daniel Wright would be the other major one, I would say. But, yeah, I think it's actually, it's weird because the pitching doesn't seem great on this slate, but it's not going to be great for anyone. And if you think you can grab an edge by stacking the Yankees and Nats, I think you can be in pretty decent shape. So, I think it's a much better slate than it looked at first blush to me.
All right, before I'm laughing because we're on our third take. We're on our third take of having to do the read for this because James keeps screwing up. All right, tell everyone about No Halftime before we talk about the evening slate.
No Halftime is a great fantasy sports app that you can download to your phone and make one-on-one fantasy challenges or accept one-on-one fantasy challenges online. So the way it works is you pick a player you think your guy's going to outperform. So tonight you might take DeGrom over Justin Verlander, issue that challenge out to the world. If people accept it, great, you're playing one-on-one for all the money involved, and if not, no problem, the money gets credited back to your account. We also find it's a great, we were joking around earlier also, because we found a ton of great challenges on No Halftime today. We were scooping them up, and it was making us delay the podcast. So do you want to point out
anything? Yeah, I just took, I fired it up, and I just took Tanaka over Matt Andres was one. Whoa. I just took. I took.
I was just sitting there?
Yeah, I got Tyler Anderson over Mike Clevenger, so just guys we just talked about. Wow. And then I forget the third. Oh, I took Pomerantz over Verlander. That one was a little closer. But the Tanaka and Anderson ones were easy calls.
That's
so anyway,
free money. There's always great challenges on NoHalftime.com. So check them out. Promo code DFSR MLB25. You get a $25 bonus up to your first $25 deposited. And yeah, we'll see you over there. But don't take all the good challenges because it's actually free money sometimes.
Yeah, no. So I know. Anyway, love No Halftime. Keep using it. Go over there. So evening slate of games. And there's only 5 games here. But this is, I got to say, this is the exact kind of slate that I love. It's a short, I like shorter slates in general just because it increases the mistakes of your opponents for the most part. Because
How does it do that?
Well, we've talked about this before, but typically on a shorter slate, there's just less ways to get home in terms of just sort of get lucky on guys. So like, and what happens is if one mistake made on a short slate easily cascades down the lineup quicker than it will on a full one because they're just because of the lack of player pool. So if you're making mistakes, like specifically if you're overpaying for a player in not maybe a plus matchup or just things like that, will tend to harm you further on down the lineup as you try to quote fit guys in. So I like this, but I also specifically like it when there's a clear cut starting pitcher one that is the obvious cash gameplay for me. Like, you know, and it's funny because like at times. So this happened last night with Sale, right? Like the ownership level on him was like 80% on DraftKings, 90% on FanDuel for cash game, which is insane. And I still actually don't mind that because he's such an overwhelming play that to me, the 20% that don't play him on DraftKings or even the 10% that don't play him on FanDuel is essentially paying the rake if you're going in from an expectation point of view, right? Like there's times where it doesn't work out, whatever. But from an expectation point of view, which is really the only thing you can't control it. But that's really how you should evaluate all your decisions going in, is like, did I get my money good going in, right?
Did it look like I had an edge here when it's all said and done?
Right, and that's the case to me with DeGrom tonight. I mean, you see DeGrom as a clear guy, right? Like
that's a complete no-brainer. Yeah. I mean, San Diego going into New York, San Diego, sure, they're getting out of their tough home park, but City's not a great place to hit either. The other options you have available to you, I actually do think there's some high upside arms on this slate, given their matchup and who they are, but nah, no one's even in DeGrom's league. A quick note on DeGrom, it's worth pointing out, he did have that blister when he left his last start, but he was phenomenal in his last start. There's no word that he might miss or anything tonight at this point. I know he's listed his day-to-day, but I suspect he'll just be out there and totally be himself.
And DeGrom's one of these guys, too. When you look at, if you look at his season-over-season just outputs, his Ks have spiked this year. Like, he's like 33% more Ks this season, which is an insane number. Like, you really just don't see that kind of jump. It's probably not sustainable, by the way. Like, 12.3 Ks per nine. I would be shocked if he stuck over 12 for the course of the season. I'd be shocked. You probably see it kind of drop maybe more into the 11s. I'm not positive. I'm just kind of guessing at that. But we've talked about this last time he pitched, or the last couple times he's pitched, is that he's just throwing harder this season. Like the fastball is harder, the changeup's harder. Every pitch that he's throwing is harder, which is another thing you really don't see that often. So which has probably been the primary thing that's allowed the Ks to just creep up so steadily. So now he's the guy. He'll be probably in that same 90% range on FanDuel, I think, again, as Sale, which is, again, totally nuts. But
well, you've made a pretty persuasive case for a guy who's going to be a 90% start, Doug. I think this will be considered canon when it comes to recommending DeGrom on 525-17.
I think I'll be cracking up. All right, after DeGrom, who's probably, again, he's going to be 90%.
after the change-up philosophy.
after DeGrom, there are some other interesting pitchers going here. You know, starting pitcher two-wise, who can we take a look at GPP-wise? Because I think, you know, always on these short sites, you can just sort of fade the chalk as well. Where else can we look at pitcher?
So I'm going to go right over to GPP because I think there's a terrific pick you can make here that I think some people will probably be on it, but I still think you're kind of getting away with something there. And that's playing Robbie Ray against the Brewers. So first of all, everyone I think by now knows about Robbie Ray. He's got back-to-back seasons now with 11 Ks per nine. The guy's an absolute K machine. The issue with Ray always has been the walks, and the walks have gotten even worse this season. He's up to 4.9 walks per nine, and that's pretty damn bad, so there's no question about that. The thing about Ray that I like for him tonight is actually the matchup. Now, on paper, it doesn't appear to be the greatest matchup. The Brewers have been just a hair behind the Nats when it comes to hitting left-handed pitching this season. They have a 353 WOBA, and Vegas likes them for a pretty reasonable total. And so all of that is not great. But the thing about the Brewers is they also strike out a ton. Their 25% K rate is the second highest in the majors, behind the absolutely hapless Rays. And so while they can hit the ball really hard, they also strike out a lot. Situations like this are actually perfect for me for GPP, because the thing for GPP is we're basically just looking for everything to come together right. We don't really care about kind of the median expectation. We want to think about the absolute high end. When you get a pitcher like Robbie Ray, one of the best K guys in the majors, against a team that strikes out the second most against his handedness, things can just break in such a way where he strikes out a bunch of guys and some of those Brewers hard hit balls find gloves, right? So, and in that case, you don't need to worry about the money line because we'll get the win, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I think Robbie Ray is my favorite big tournament play for tonight, and I would be just frankly thrilled to play him.
Yeah, no, especially like a free swinging team too is where you can hopefully cut down on the walks as well. So, no, I like that. I don't think he's a cash game play for me simply because the walks are too high and there's too much downside. I think from a cash game perspective, I suspect you see, at least on DraftKings, starting pitcher two is Pomerantz. He's so cheap on DraftKings at this point. Actually, it seems like a misprice, to be honest with you.
Yeah, 76 is bizarre.
7,600 for him, and it's not like he's been bad. So maybe you see a 7,600 price tag if a guy's been like running bad, let's say. Like he just has been bad.
And Pomerantz does have a high ERA.
I take that back. Yeah, I didn't realize it was a 5 ERA, because I usually just quickly look at XFIP before I look at ERA. The XFIP, 3.78 right in line, actually better than his career averages. He's striking out the most of his career since he's been in the majors, just about. I'm looking through minor league numbers too. Walks have always been sort of the bugaboo for him. He will walk more than 3 per 9, and that's probably not going to change anytime soon. I can live with it based on the money line here. It is difficult rostering lefties in Fenway. I get that, because there are a lot of ways for it to go bad real fast, just on a fly ball that creeps over the fence, which is pretty easy for the Green Monster. But I still, the price, it's really the price for me. If you're going to get more than a K per inning strikeout expectation from a guy in the 7,600 price range, that's just a pretty easy call for me. So I do think you see Pomerantz as relatively chalky, just because he's the exact guy you're kind of looking for to pair with DeGrom.
Well, and also with Pomerantz, it's worth noting, the Rangers are essentially a dream matchup for left-handed pitching. They strike out just 0.9% less than the Brewers, so they're fourth in the majors in terms of striking out. but their WOBA is 62 points lower than the Brewers, which is to say they're one of the very worst teams in the majors when it comes to hitting lefties. Yeah, they're third lowest in the majors. So
right, because they're big three power bats. Well, I would classify those as Mazzara, Odor, and Gallo, I guess. I think those are the three top.
Yeah, well, and Gallo's just a strikeout machine. He actually can't barrel up a ball against left-handed pitching. Right. Any bat he takes is as good as a free strikeout. So now cue him hitting a home run tonight, I get it. But I still think, yeah, it's a terrific spot. The Rangers also don't walk at all. Their 7.6% walk rate is tied for sixth lowest in the majors, too. So, yeah, just a dream spot all around. You know, you typically don't like teams coming into Fenway, but the Rangers also have a great home hitting park, too. So it's not like you're getting some huge inflation there. I think it's a great spot. And especially if you're just looking at floor, and I think that's what we're trying to look at here for cash game purposes. I think Pomeranz has a much higher floor than a guy like Ray, for instance.
The only thing that could really knock me off of this slate would be the weather in New York impacting my trust in DeGrom making it through the game. And the reason I say that is because while we were talking, they just postponed the Yankees Royals game. Wash off everything we said about Tanaka and just go choose one of the other pitchers. Okay. So that game got canceled, and this game is also in New York. Now, again, it's 6 hours later, so weather changes, but rain is in the forecast. That would be the only thing that would make me worried, because the one thing we always want to avoid is weather concerns around your starting pitcher, right? Like, you can get away with it in the bats, and it's a little harder, you know, postponing games. Is, while it seems like it can happen, and it has happened a decent amount this year, it is still pretty rare to postpone games, right? And so, especially to postpone them like after the scheduled start time. Just because at that point, the teams are incentivized to play because the fans are there. And so they just don't want to send everyone home. So it needs to be pretty damn bad. But the problem is, they have no problem delaying games. And that is absolute death for your pitcher. Like an hour delay, more or something like that, after the guy started pitching. And then it's just going to be the end of them. So the only real reason that would get me off this late would be some of those weather concerns, something to monitor as the day goes on. On the offensive side of the ball, I mean, is it Nick Martinez there, right? I mean, what, is there anything else to say? Like, do we just start and stop with the Red Sox here?
I mean, that would be nice. It's impossible to do that because you will need other players to come bat for your team. But I think the Red Sox are great, in a great spot. The only thing I guess that could happen there is they are still expensive. So, you know, if you're going to roll DeGrom out at 11,000 on a slate that only has five or six games, what is it, six games tonight? That does make it tough to just pay up for a bunch of guys. You know, last night we were able to cash in on a bunch of the Red Sox players, but I don't know that we'll be able to do quite the same with DeGrom at the top of the list. Just again, because there's not, I mean, maybe some cheap value is going to come to the top of the table, but if we're just going to need to pay fair prices for most of these guys, that's going to make it pretty tough.
Yeah, DeGrom at only 11,000 is not the end of the world on FanDuel.
No, it's not. I mean, we paid 11.6 for Sale last night, so definitely doesn't rule it out, but it's more the size of the slate that's the issue.
Yeah, no, you're right. And you're still getting some red, you are getting a couple of Red Sox guys coming in the mid 3,000 on FanDuel. Hanley's only 3,500. Bogarts is only 3,600. I think Pedroia's in like in the low 3,000s as well. Yeah, 3,400 for Pedroia. Sure. So you're not doing too bad on their prices outside of bets, basically, you're going to have to pay a pretty penny for, rightfully so. After the Red Sox, where else can I either find some cheaper value going here today or just be able to round out some of the cash games?
It's not the easiest thing to do. There really are no terrible, terrible pitchers going on this slate. I mean, as you look up and down, I guess Davies is a guy you could turn to as a potential guy with a target on his back. Arizona hits left-handed pitching a little bit better than right-handed pitching, but they're still decent against righties. The issue is there, again, price. Like, a lot of the Arizona guys are very expensive, and I don't know how you can really stack them up. Maybe you look to the Tigers. You know, Mike Fiers is a guy he's gotten by on less than amazing stuff and good control. And so if you like that for a big tournament, you know, you just pile up a bunch of Tigers and hope that those pitches that go down the middle don't lead to outs. Instead, they lead to doubles and homers. Like, I think that's a spot. But this is actually, I'm less excited. I really like Ray at the top of my GPP lineups, but there isn't an obvious group of teams for me to stack from a hitting perspective.
It's funny. The Vegas has no faith in Verlander tonight against the Astros.
Well, the Astros are good.
Man. Well, they're great. They're probably the best offense.
Take them as a stack target.
I think I will, just because you're getting them.
No, you won't.
Dare me. 4.6 implied runs for them is just meaning that Vegas thinks that they're going to get to Verlander, because that's a pretty high line relative to like the guy on the mound. So I don't mind going that direction. But still, though, the Red Sox are still a full run higher than just about the next closest team on the slate. So you're going to try you're going to hope that they get some cheap stuff at the top of the lineup there going, or otherwise you're just going to have to probably punt a position or two to try to get some of those Red Sox bats in. Overall, though, as long as the weather can hold, I can't say it enough, really, really like this slate. All right, we're going to get out of here. Remember, the Yankees and Royals are postponed, so ignore all the stuff we said about Tanaka at the top of the show. From DFSR.com/MLB, we'll get you a free 3-day trial to our projection system, powered by Lineup Lab, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Buddy, back again tomorrow, talking more baseball.
Can't wait, buddy.